This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you this morning to this Sunday when we celebrate the gift of the sacrament of baptism together and have an opportunity to reaffirm our baptisms in this place together. As we gather this morning, I would invite everyone here to sign in. We have registration pads that are on the end of each row, and I hope they're being passed down the row already and that you are letting us know that you were here. Especially if you're visiting with us this morning, we would invite you to sign in and share any information, mailing address or email address that you might share with us so that we can be in touch with you and let you know some of the ways that we're trying to live out God's love in the world. If you're visiting with us and would like to know more about West End United Methodist Church, we'd love for you to enter into Reed Hall through this way at the end of the service, where there will be a welcome desk and some other friends there to welcome you and answer any questions you might have. Next week, during the Sunday School Hour, we'll begin our West End 101 class, which runs for 4 weeks and is geared to visitors and new members to help you learn a little bit more about Methodism and about our congregation. And that meets downstairs in McWhorter Hall starting next week. Also next week at 9:30, there will be a tour of the building. So whether you're a visitor or you've been here a long time and you're still not quite sure where everything is, that's an opportunity to have a guided tour of the building. And that will start at 9:30 at the Welcome Desk next week. Tonight, our youth will gather as usual from 5 to 7 upstairs in the youth area. That includes dinner, so we'd love for any of our 7th through 12th graders to come tonight and start off the year together. And then a reminder that the office will be closed tomorrow for a celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and hopefully we all have ways of honoring him and celebrating that day together in our communities tomorrow. I want to celebrate our partners in ministry, Open Table, Room in the Inn, Launchpad, those brothers and sisters in the faith who help keep folks who otherwise would be on the streets inside and warm during these cold winter months. I thank all of you who help to volunteer with those ministries, and let's keep our eyes and ears open about ways that we can continue to be a place of warmth and food and safety for our brothers and sisters on the streets. It is now time for us to prepare to come to the waters of baptism, to be reminded once again that we are the beloved children of God. We all need to hear that message again, so I'm glad that you're here this morning, and let us prepare ourselves to receive this gift this day. voice of the Lord, strong and mighty, powerful and full of majesty.
He calls to us, calling across the water.
The voice of the Lord breaks forth.
He gives us strength and blessing, causing us to shout, glory to the name of the Lord.
A prophet appeared in the wilderness, calling the people to repent, be baptized, and prepare the way of the Lord. We return to the water to confess our sins, giving thanks for the grace of Jesus Christ. God of all glory, you look from heaven and see us as we are, not worthy to kneel at your feet, not ready to welcome your way. Forgive us, gracious God. In Christ, stoop down to save us. Loosen the ties that bind us to sin and set us free to love and serve you. Hear the good news of the gospel. As a voice from heaven said to Jesus, so God says to each of us, you are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And now as a forgiven and reconciled people, let's exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth at Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
To be seated, and all the children who would like to come forward for a moment. You may have noticed we have something a little bit different up here on the altar table. We have bowls of water with little glass beads, and I've got one of those this morning. And a little bit later, after the sermon, everybody's going to have a chance to come forward and get one of these glass beads out of the water. Now, why in the world would we do that? Well, today we're talking about baptism. We just heard the story about when Jesus was baptized, and when he came up out of the water after he was baptized, the voice of God said, "You are my son, and I love you. I am so pleased with you." And we believe that that happens every single time someone is baptized. Many of you were probably baptized when you were little. Some of you maybe haven't been baptized yet. But no matter what, we all hear that voice of God saying to us, "You are my beloved child, and I am so pleased with you." In a minute, we're going to get to see Millie Kate be baptized, and all of us together will be there in that moment and have a chance to say to her, "God loves you so much." So when you come forward later in the worship service, even if you haven't been baptized yet, take one of these beads and hold on to it to remember that God loves you and always will. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of baptism, for it is one way that you remind us and remind all people that we are your beloved children, and nothing we can do will ever make you love us any less. Help us to receive your love and to share it with everybody else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you can go back to sit with your parents or grandparents or friends. Way back in the 1950s, there was a detective show called Dragnet. Now, I only saw it once or twice way later. It was before my time, but I saw a few reruns, and I know that the main character was Detective Joe Friday. Now, Joe Friday had a catchphrase. Anybody remember what it was? "Just the facts, ma'am." Just the facts. He'd go to a crime scene, and he'd investigate and talk to the people who were there, and he'd get somebody who was, and he'd say, "Just the facts, just the facts." I think about Joe Friday sometimes when I'm reading the Gospel of Mark. Mark seems to have been interested in pretty much just the facts. His Gospel is probably the first one written, the oldest one we have. Some scholars think he might have written it in a bit of a hurry because the temple had been destroyed and people were being dispersed, and they needed to write down some of the things that Jesus said and taught. But whatever his reasons for writing it the way he did, it seems that he just goes from one thing to the next. I would invite you, actually, sometime in the next few weeks to sit down and read the first chapter of Mark. We're going to be spending the next few weeks in worship, making our way through chapter 1, and you get that sense of this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Just the facts. At some point, Mark decided to write down the story of Jesus, and he made choices about what to tell us and how to tell it to us. And the way Mark chooses to begin the story of Jesus is with baptism. Now, we've just come through the season of Christmas, and we read Luke's version of Jesus' birth and Matthew's version of what happened when Jesus was a baby, and some of these stories about Jesus' childhood. Mark doesn't tell us any of that. Verse 1 of Mark's Gospel, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Boom! He tells us right away, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God. Then the curtains open, and there Jesus is, standing on the side of the Jordan, ready to be baptized. So according to Mark, the story of Jesus begins with baptism. Now, the way Mark tells the story is a lot briefer than most of the other Gospels. Again, just the facts. But because Mark is a man of such few words, I lean in a little bit closer and I want to pay attention to the words that he uses and the way that he tells the story. And if we read Mark's account of Jesus' baptism, there's one word that's different from all the other accounts, and it grabs your attention. It happens in that moment when Jesus is coming out of the water and the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and a voice speaks and says, "You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." By the way, that moment we have a glimpse of the Trinity, God the parent, God the son, God the Holy Spirit, all in this one moment. And when I picture it in my mind, I think of the sky opening up very, the clouds gently parting and the Holy Spirit coming down. That's not what Mark says. Mark says, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, the heavens were torn open. That word tear in Greek, schizomenos, it's like what you would do to a piece of fabric. You tear the fabric, you tear into a package. God was tearing through the heavens in order to say to Jesus the Son, "I love you." That's what happened at Jesus' baptism. That's what happens at every baptism. Do we believe that? Do we believe that at the moment of our baptism, if we've been baptized, that God was tearing through the heavens to get to us? And to say to us, "I love you. You are my beloved child. And I am so delighted with you." If you're like me, you find that a little hard to believe. Yes, that was the voice that spoke at Jesus' baptism. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was without sin. In a few moments, Millie Kate is going to be baptized. And I mean, did you see her on Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock service? She was the baby Jesus. She's a perfect, innocent little child. Of course she is God's beloved child, and God is well pleased with her. But I've lived a few years. I've done a few things. I am all too aware of my own patterns of behavior and brokenness that I just can't seem to get past. I walk around this earth and live day to day with the assumption that God is not pleased with me and that God is waiting for me to get my act together before God will really pour into me God's love. And the idea that God would be delighted with me, boy, that is really hard for us to accept. But my friends, that is exactly what baptism is all about. And that is why we need to come again and again and again to the waters of baptism. That is why the church has given us this gift in our calendar that every year on this Sunday of January, we will remember the baptism of Jesus, we will remember our own baptisms, and we will remember that we are beloved children of God. The way Mark tells the story, Jesus hasn't even done anything yet. He hasn't spoken a word. He hasn't gone into the wilderness and faced temptation. He hasn't taught anyone. He hasn't healed anyone yet, the way Mark tells the story. The story begins with his baptism. It begins with the affirmation that he is God's beloved child. And so, too, does our story begin there. And so we come again and again and again to our starting place, to be reminded that we are God's beloved children. There's one other place in Mark's gospel where he uses this word tear, and it comes at the end of the story, at the moment of Jesus' death. The veil in the temple is torn asunder. God has once and for all torn the barrier between God and us. There is no longer anything that separates us from God's love. And if we didn't get it in the waters of baptism, we get it in the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. We hear it again and again and again in the witness of the scriptures, where Jesus says, God so loved the world that God gave his only son. The witness of the Apostle Paul. I am convinced, Paul says, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So no matter who you are, no matter what your story, what your past, no matter how unworthy you might feel, come to the waters of baptism and allow God to remind you that you are God's beloved child. You always have been, and you always will be. We're going to invite you in a few moments to come forward and to reach into one of these bowls and take a glass bead. Sometimes when we do this, we invite you to come and one of us will place a cross on your forehead with the water. But this year we wanted to do it a little bit differently, because I think it is so hard for us to accept the love of God, to receive it, to really believe it's for us. So as you come forward this morning, I invite you to reach into the waters and to take the gift of God's love for yourself. And to say for yourself, if you can, I am God's beloved child. And God is delighted with me. Come to the waters and receive again God's unconditional love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I invite you to stand now as you're able and answer these ancient questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. May be seated.
It is a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, even as we renew our baptismal covenant. This morning, Travis and Emily Hollett bring their daughter, Millie Kate Hollett, to God before the community of faith for baptism. Emily and Travis, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, will you nurture Millie Kate and Christ's holy church, that that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Congregation, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, you will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us, all creeping things, all races, male and female.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we weren't to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God.
This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprang from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things were.
These are the salty tears King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon, by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan. The day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria, where Jesus chatted, unchaperoned, with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
And this is the water he used to cut the wine at his last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the last minute of his hour.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
This is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are. What name shall be given this child? Millie Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Millie Kate, the Spirit work within you, that having been born by water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on a journey here. Millie Kate, we have all just reaffirmed our own baptisms. Many of us have done what you just did. We've been called into a life of discipleship, and now these brothers and sisters of yours in Christ will pledge to help you grow in your own discipleship as we seek to all live out our life together as members of the body of Christ.
Members of the household of God, I commend Millie Kate to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. Please stand as you are able and read the promise in the bulletin. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Millie Kate, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And these congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness.
Invited to reaffirm our faith by remembering our baptism. After the servers are in their places, you're invited to come forward to any one of the stations that is up here to place your hand in the water and receive a bead. Whether or not you have been baptized, let this be a reminder of God's love, unconditional, unbounded love for you. After you have touch the water and take in a glass bead, you're invited to kneel at the altar rails as long as you would like to pray prayers of gratitude, petition, whatever it may be, for the blessing that's offered here. We invite you to come to the waters.
And now in continued prayer, we offer the joys and concerns of the church. We celebrate the birth of Phineas Ralph Waltz, who was born December the 17th in Cincinnati, Ohio, to Brian and Celine Waltz. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Melody and Rich Waltz. A rose on the altar is in celebration. Our sympathy goes to two families this morning, the family of Aaron Racine, whose grandmother died, Alice Fitzgerald, on Tuesday, January 9th. Services were held in Big Rapids, Michigan, yesterday, January 13th. And we grieve with Ellen Hobbs Lyle, with the death of her mother, Joanne Hobbs, who died Saturday, January the 6th. Services have been rescheduled from yesterday to next Saturday, January the 20th, with visitation in Reed Hall at 1 p.m. and the service to follow in the sanctuary at 2 p.m. Let's turn our hearts and minds towards prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the love and grace you give through your Son, Jesus. Today, as we remember that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River so long ago, we are grateful to share in his baptism. Open our hearts to receive the gift of baptism, a sign of your love in Jesus being extended toward us. You poured your Spirit upon him. May your Spirit overwhelm and empower us. Inspire us with the same Spirit that empowered Jesus to heal the sick and set free the captives, so that we will bring your health to the sick, your encouragement to the discouraged, and your promise to the dying. You called Jesus by name. Help us to hear your voice today, to hear you call each of our names. You walk with us through the challenges that surround us. Wash away our anxiety by your promised presence and set us free from despair. You spoke of your love for your Son, Jesus. Help us to know the unconditional love you have for all your children. You bring reconciliation to those who are divided. We pray for better relationships between our nation and the nations of the world. Strengthen us to be peacemakers. You said that you were pleased with Jesus. Help us to hear you bless us, to know that you find pleasure in us, to know you delight in our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Enable us to trust your baptismal promise and to serve this hurting world, to bring about the promises you gave us in the prayer you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen." As a people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer.
gathered in this place this morning and have been reminded that we are God's beloved. May we be reminded that the same is true for all people, and it is our work to carry that news out into the world and show it in every way we can. Go with that good news and with Christ's peace.